There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. The way I always say this is hour number two of the show on this on a Wednesday. It's almost like the weekend already. We are in the downhill slide to the weekend. And hopefully if you're thinking about the weekend or getting outside and doing things, you stop by and check out the cart selection at the Cart Doctor. We are here in Theodore. A huge selection of carts, gas-powered, electric-powered, customized any way you want. You can walk around the showroom in there and see if you're a sports fan and you got it for sports tailgating, they've got you. If you're an outdoorsman like me, want something for the farm or for the hunting camp, they've got those as well. You want this rack and not the other rack. You want a holder for this, but not the other. Stephen can handle that. They've got a great selection, and today it's happening in there right now as people are taking advantage of this. Trisha said it, and so y'all are coming in and taking advantage of it, and good for you. I'm thinking about doing the same thing. It is her cost. Selling carts for her cost today at the Cart Doctor. You walk in, she's going to show you the invoice on the cart you want, and that's the price you pay. That would be the best deal. John, yeah, did you buy one when you were in there?
I've known Trish longer than I've been in politics. And when she says something, you can take it to the bank.
I know. And I think, you know, and Butch has found out about it, even though he's, you know, half a country away. And he said, what are you doing? But that's what we're doing right now at the Cart Doctor. So, I mean, if you've been on the fence about buying a cart, this is pretty solid. You're paying what they pay, the best price you can get. All right. Come out and check it out today at the Cart Doctor here in Theodore. And that is the voice of Mobile City Councilman John Williams. And talking about this... pretty darn big surprise to me, and you said even to you and other members of the council, and I heard from the mayor as well, that while the city owns Hank Aaron Stadium, the city does not own the land under Hank Aaron Stadium.
That's correct.
And there's a contract that you've been showing me, looking through here, and in the contract it says for the property to be not taken back, that it not being reclaimed by this McGowan development, that there has to be a double-A baseball team or equivalent in there. That's what keeps the wolf away.
That's my understanding. Again, I'm no attorney.
Well,
everybody knows that. But the fact is that is what it is. There was really no way for any of us to know that unless we were here during that time. So I'm not faulting the mayor or anyone.
Right. I said that at the beginning of the show before I even saw you. I said, you know, I can't fault people that weren't here then. You know, I did think, wouldn't there be somebody in the records department or something? I don't know how it looks down there that would have known that.
I have several people that call me on a daily basis and tell me whether or not I'm doing something right or wrong. And I had one of those trusted advisors call me and said, you better check the contract. And I blew her off. And she knows who she is. I won't mention any names. But she saw me a couple of days later and says, you need to check the contract. I said, what contract are you talking about? She said, the land, the lease contract. You don't own the land. And I tell you, my mouth was just wide open.
I mean, for all this time I've been talking about Hank Aaron Stadium, what you're going to do, and improvement to the audio, improvement to the drainage, these things, you know, at the field to keep the Bay Bears when that was going on, because I just assumed that the land underneath it also belonged to the city.
I did, too.
Looking at a lot of texts coming in here. We can grab some phone calls as well at 343-0106. Supermom says, someone agreed to the clause. It's actually someone's fault.
Supermom, you're right. You know, somebody did and realized that this was done before computers, as I said in an earlier segment.
Who signed this? So the texter here is asking, who signed the contract?
This was during the Dow administration.
Would have been Mayor Dow that signed it.
It was during the Dow administration. Let's give kudos to Mike. I mean, he brought a lot of stuff. When times were tough here in Mobile and everybody didn't give Mobile a chance, Mike had a vision, and it was to get things on the books and let's start doing things. And then, you know, through these next two administrations, we've been able to stabilize the ship. And some have turned out and some hadn't. But, you know, it's easy to look back and say somebody's not or wasn't awake when they were at the wheel, but that's not the case.
You know, I understand what you're saying, but also I don't have the knowledge or the job of a mayor of a city, but as a small business person or just somebody that, you know, I have properties, you know, I do rentals, and the idea of me owning a building that I'm going to have to put work into on a piece of land I don't own with a nuanced contract that could take it away from me is...
All right, looks like we've temporarily lost the connection with Sean Sullivan. He's broadcasting Midday Mobile live from Cart Doctor out in Theodore on Highway 90 West. If you want to make your way over to Cart Doctor, and if you heard Trish speaking earlier, just fantastic deals where you can get the carts at the same price that they are paying to bring them into Cart Doctor. She'll even show you the invoice, but you take exit 15A off of I-10, and Cart Doctor is about a mile west on Highway 90. You'll see him there. You'll see a big lot full of carts, and of course you'll see the FM Talk 106.5 station van where Sean Sullivan is currently sitting with Mobile City Councilman John Williams and discussing this Bay Bears news. And I know Sean was about to go to the phone line, so we'll just follow through on that while we wait to see if he'll get back on that connection. And David in Mobile joins us now. Hey, David.
Hey, Dalton. I was going to ask the councilman this question, so I'll ask it to you and maybe you can relay it to them. You know, this is all going to happen right around the time the city is going to lose the Senior Bowl and the Dollar General Bowl at Ladd People Stadium to the new on-campus stadium at South Alabama. My question is this: which is cheaper, revisiting the deal that the mayor negotiated with the university, the $500,000 a year for 20 years to have the Senior Bowl and the Dollar General Bowl and the Gulf Coast Challenge, whatever, at the on-campus stadium, or trying to run an empty, dilapidated football stadium and an empty, dilapidated baseball stadium? Would it be cheaper to just tear down Hank Aaron Stadium, say y'all take the land back McGowan Park, and then try to do some revive that deal with the university, and do something with Ladd at a high school level?
Okay, David, looks like we are connected back with Sean.
We're back, and I want to get, because I was busy with the power failure out here in our van. We're back, and I want David, I caught just the last of what you're saying. Can you back up and lay it back out with so Councilman Williams can hear it?
Yes, basically, all of this with Hank Aaron Stadium is going to be happening at the same time. The city is going to lose the Senior Bowl and the Dollar General Bowl to a new on-campus stadium at South Alabama. Which is cheaper, to try to revive that deal with between South Alabama and the city that the mayor negotiated, and move all the football stuff out to the to the campus, and then tear down Hank Aaron Stadium and do something with Ladd People Stadium at a high school level, or trying to run a run down, dilapidated, empty Ladd People Stadium and a empty Hank Aaron Stadium? Which would be cheaper?
That's a long statement, David. It's always good to hear you when you come in, because I know you have a well thought out question. But the fact is, I don't know that answer. I do know that I promised the people of Mobile, Alabama, that I would not use tax dollars generated by the 1 cent sales tax to do anything other than restore infrastructure. And we need to be working on that. I would hope that we can find a negotiable path for the Hank, but at the same time, we are not going to tear down Ladd. We're simply not going to tear down, not with the current state law. And I think that we do own that land, and we are going to maintain that facility as long as we have to.
All right, thank you.
All right, David, appreciate the call. Lease line open at 343-0106, 343-0106. I want to get some more of these text questions, too. So Tim says this. Tim on the text line says, I'm calling, I'll use euphemism here, I'm calling baloney when the city council says they didn't know about the contract of the stadium, because in order for them to have all those different times of negotiating who's going to pay for the lights, who's going to do this, who's going to do that, and that the stadium, they had to look at the contract. So again, I call a baloney.
Yeah, baloney would be called on somebody else. I would just say that And in 96, I was in the Army, and I was serving our country, and I'm quite certain that I did not know about this contract. And again, in its paper form, if my informant or my advisor had not let me know that it was, I don't know that any of us would know. And so if...
That scares me, because what that makes me want to do...
I'd like to know where he knew from, because I'd like to get that person in my advisory circles.
Well, what that makes me... Here's my nature. You just saying what you said. Now, I'm if I'm in your position, I'm going, how many other contracts do we not know? It sounds like time to order a bunch of pizzas and set up, you know, over the weekend down there and look through, or say, you know, split up the council in 1/7. Everybody has to take home contracts and see what is in there. You know, I mean, so I like I said, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I heard that the city did not own the property under the stadium. This texture says, how can Biloxi, Pensacola, Jackson, Montgomery, and so on maintain a team and Mobile cannot? Why doesn't Mobile support minor league baseball? It's all great, an affordable family day or evening out.
I try to stay consistent in this, and that is I go to things all the time where there's 200 people there. And I absolutely agree with you. I don't know the answer of why people don't go to South Alabama basketball games. Some of the best games, I'm telling you, exciting basketball, exciting baseball that happens at South. People just don't go. Now, a T-ball game, if the T-ball team is winning, they will flood the stands.
Let me tell you, when I heard Jack was calling earlier about his idea for a league, why I was asking were people, were these players going to be local or coming from elsewhere? Because what puts people, and I'm living this, I have young children, I'm living this, what puts people at soccer games, what puts people at T-ball games, and don't get me started with the T-ball and you know, is it really baseball? Why can't we just wait for the... But what puts people there is some relationship with the children on the field. We're there, honest to goodness, not because this is the highest level of sporting activity. Okay, I mean, you know, the children forget they're playing, they're chasing a butterfly, whatever, when the game. But we're there because our children are there, or our nieces or nephews or our friends' children are there. That fills, when there's a family connection, people will go out to sporting events, not driven as much by the sporting event, but by being there to support family and friends. So when you move to the next level of professional, where we're going out, I think that's where you see the break point. And you know what we like? We like football.
That's a great
point. We like
football.
I mean, I want it to be like, you know, I love our city's history with baseball. Wouldn't it be great if that city history with baseball would have continued into a where people still, that they would do news stories nationally, the city that loves, but we don't like we used to. There's plenty of people still go out to baseball games, but they have a family member playing. They have somebody, or it's their school, their high school. There's a connection.
Yeah, people used to go outside and do a lot of things. But when air conditioning came along and TV, that you could actually see the golf ball rolling on a green half a world away, there's just so much else that is demanding of our time. And you're absolutely right. You know, you go to a football, high school football game is probably our last connection with those families and traditions and institutions. But nobody has that connection to those guys who came from somewhere and they're going somewhere as soon as they can get there.
I mean, I hate it, but I mean, that at that point, you're only driven by the entertainment value of that sport. So we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. We are live at the Cart Doctor, and we're talking to Councilman John Williams. We're also, Trisha's got a look on her face like she's busy inside. Well, that's what happens when you sell carts for your price. That's it. You did it. We'll find out more. And also the layaway program going on out here at the Cart Doctor in Theodore. Coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. And we are live at the Cart Doctor here in Theodore. What you got to do is move that mic. Yeah, there you go. You got it figured out. You know what? I am going to get, we've been threatening to get the Facebook Live cam in the mobile command unit to run some video out of here. I think we're going to start doing it because we're using these headsets. Y'all put the headsets on and watching people. It's like a Chinese finger trap when you get the headset on. get people all hemmed up in the headset. We've been talking about here at Cart Doctor in Theodore, great selection of carts. And Trish, you said it. You said, beginning of the show, you said you're going to sell some carts at your cost, and that's what you're doing.
We did.
Yeah, I'm going to get that mic a little closer to you. There you go. So you did. Yeah,
we
I see some people. I like this when I see somebody pull in, park, and go walking straight in, like, you know, like on a beeline. Because this is, if somebody's been on the fence, they've been thinking about buying a cart, they've been out here looking at the carts, they kind of know what they like, yeah, this is about a perfect day to buy.
That's exactly what he said.
I mean, why wouldn't you? You know, I mean, you've got a carts. I mean, is this just for one kind of cart out here today, or can they find, it could be gas cart, electric cart?
Whatever cart you find. I mean,
okay, whatever cart we find on the lot here.
Yeah.
We can buy it at your cost.
Yes. In my
like,
cost,
where's the,
you know what that means? My cost means what I paid the manufacturer for the
car. You're showing the invoice. You'll show the,
I showed him. He
knows. So there's like, y'all, if you plan to buy a cart, if it is something you are doing here this year, it's something.
Today's the day.
Like, not just saying, hey, today's the, you know, like, this is like, there's no, it's not like, hey, it's this percentage off. It's what you got. Yeah, that's awesome.
This will never happen again.
Right, because right, I heard the phone's been ringing. Yes, I heard that.
All right, once again, having a little, couple technical difficulties with Sean Sullivan out at Cart Doctor. They're out in Theodore, Highway 90 West. If you take exit 15A off of I-10, they're about a mile down there on the left. And you just heard Trisha saying it, a great deal today where they'll give you a cart at the same price they paid the manufacturers for the cart, and she'll even show you the invoice as proof. So today on Midday Mobile, been talking a lot about the news that was broken by WKRG yesterday. Peter Albrecht talking about the Mobile Bay Bears Stadium, Hank Aaron Stadium, where they've been playing. Evidently, the land under the stadium not owned by the city of Mobile. McGowan Properties, of course, McGowan being the shopping center, they own that entire block of all those restaurants and shops there. Well, they own the property underneath Bay Bears Stadium, Hank Aaron Stadium, and with the Bay Bears leaving for Madison at the end of next season, what's going to happen with that stadium? Councilman Williams was saying that we will have to at least put something equivalent to AA baseball there. That's part of the contract rules. So we've been discussing that and also discussing the great deals at Cart Doctor. And as we wait to get Sean Sullivan back on, once again, we'll go back to the phone line like we did earlier, and Marty calling in to talk. Hey, Marty.
Hey, Dalton. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm good. Hey, appreciate you taking my call. When it comes to a stadium like that, I've got some background with it. Yeah, I was in minor league baseball in management for a number of years, and one of the cities I was in was in Savannah, Georgia. And a big part of that that we battled there, they actually lost their minor league team, too, and it was due to apathy from the city.
Hmm.
Not a lot of folks came out to the ballpark. It wasn't that the product's bad, just like in Mobile, and you couldn't have a better guy running the ball club there than Chris.
Right.
And so you just don't have people there. And I think, to me, if you're going to have a facility like that, and you know you don't have a good long-term plan, regardless of the ball club you bring in, I mean, you're bringing in an ownership group. You're not bringing in an actual major league team. You're bringing the ownership group in, and they have to have the vision to make it work. And if you don't have that and you aren't going to bring in AA or higher, to me, what's the point in having a baseball stadium there? Just relinquish the property back to who it belongs to. And plus, if you have the stadium there, it just becomes a liability, just being an empty shell of a you know, just a facility there. So why even deal with it? Just get rid of it and call it a day and let the developers do what they need to do with it.
Hey, great points, Marty. Did you catch that, Sean? I think we have Sean Sullivan back on the line now.
Yeah, okay. I did. And I kind of, you know, what Marty said is something I was talking about a little bit this morning. As you look down the options the city has, Is that a viable option? I mean, if it's going to be, if we're not going to be, if we're going to have to put a square peg in a round hole to do something there that doesn't fit, will just be a problem down the road. Is that an option? We will talk about that some more, I know, coming up. I do want to, and we just had got ourselves back up and going here in the van. Everything is back, and we're good at the cart doctor. And I want to mention this once again, because not only during the break, or unintended break, did I find out that people have come in and taken advantage of this, your cost pricing, but also there's financing options here.
Yeah.
This is perfect. Okay, so there's zero excuse.
Right. Yamaha is offering 0% interest for 36 months on their golf carts, and they also have
this is great.
A U-Max, which is a utility vehicle, 0% interest for 48 months.
This is good. So come out today, take advantage of this pricing, take advantage of the financing as well. We're coming right back, more from the Cart Doctor. Y'all join me out here in about another 20 minutes. We'll talk some more. All right. When we return, we'll talk to Cam Marston. Cam is, of course, on every Wednesday night at 6 with What's Working. He's going to preview tonight's show. Small business people, listen up. It's all about PR. It's on the way.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And as I said, our buddy Cam Marston from What's Working joining us. Cam, you have hit upon, I think, everything that is a regular small business person's question, even medium size or big business question in previous episodes of What's Working. And then you're tackling this one that I'm going to say, this is for big businesses, Cam. I'm sorry, but PR is not an issue for folks right here in Mobile, Baldwin Counties. Hey, by the way, hey, how are you? How you been?
I thought you said the title of the show was Once Working.
Yes,
like,
once.
No, this is not about retirement. This is about, we're in the game here, man. This is in the game.
Well, what's working, though?
Things.
Yeah.
I'm actually sitting in a hotel room in San Diego as we talk here with a client, Union Bank. I sit at one of the 10 largest banks in the U.S., sitting working with them today. But let me go back to that. I disagree, and I didn't realize how much I disagreed until having spent time with Ken and Phillips on the phone to talk, or in the interview to talk about PR. It is, I want you to equate PR, regardless of the size of the business, as an impression. You and I, Sean, control a first impression. It's in what we wear and the way we stand. We control our first impression on the radio by the words that we choose and how well we speak, all that kind of stuff. Well, PR is first impression and last impressions for business. And we see PR in the through the eyes of big companies a lot. They've turned on the PR machine, or the PR machine has taken over. There is nothing to prevent the same practices that those big companies use for working in companies as small as mine or as small as any of the listeners out there. We control our reputation. And there are proven methods that, if repeated, control our reputation in the marketplace. If you have the ability to control your reputation, you should do it. Why would you turn it over to someone else to interpret when you can control it? And that's what the learning that I got out of the time with Kennan is, I control it, you control it, I'm a business owner, there are things that I can do, I should do so. It doesn't matter if I'm multinational or if my entire business is done, as I've said a number of times, in the same zip code. I can control it and I should do so.
And just joining us, talking to Cam Marston from What's Working. Of course, you'll hear the show tonight at 6 o'clock here at FM Talk 106.5. And you're right. I guess it's using, when the acronym PR comes up, you take what, yes, I guess small business people do every day. First impression, second impression, keeping up the impression with your customers or potential customers. I guess that's all PR. It's just when I hear PR, I think, oh no, big company has done something bad has happened. Now they take that wing of the home office and those people are trying to give the best spin to the dumping of whatever toxic item or, you know, whatever bad story from one of their top management figures. That, I guess that's kind of this stereotype I get when I hear PR. But you're right. It's not all that way. Good point.
It's not. There's proactive PR. Now, you're right. When I first heard PR back in the day, it was always reactive. It was essentially the corporation is going to act to put a corporate bandage on something bad that's just happened. Executive was caught doing this. Let's get the PR machine working. We were made a mistake, the plane fell out of the air, the executive mm-hmm. did this, whatever it may be, PR machine gets working. However, I think, and that is a valid and useful form of PR, but the more valid, more useful stuff for someone like me, for someone like people that you and I know in and around Mobile, is the proactive stuff, is the stuff that does not get on television, but is instead is grooming what Kennan calls stakeholders, people in our community, to become advocates for our business by keeping them in the loop to what we're doing, keeping them abreast of our, let's say, safety record if we're in a manufacturing environment, making sure they're aware of who we are, what we're doing on a regular basis, so that when bad things happen, if they happen, we've got some advocates out there we can go to start spreading the word that, hey, this was a one-off. I know of this organization. They do good stuff. This was a one-off bad event. This is not who they are. So the proactive PR is the one that gets our reputation into the marketplace in a positive, forward-looking way. The reactive stuff is, you're right, what the city of Mobile saw post-BP oil spill.
Mm-hmm.
The BP PR machine was in full effect down there trying to control the damage of that. The proactive stuff is what happens underneath, let's say underneath the surface. Any given day, you and I are walking around our community, people working hard to enhance their reputation. And that's the part that I really got from it. You know, and one of the things that I thought was really interesting in the things that Kennan says, I got to give this guy credit. He's both a friend of mine, but he's a very thoughtful guy. So we have in our society today, Sean, character in the White House, and I don't mean character in a bad sense, but a man in the White House who's gone against nearly every PR thing you could ever prescribe.
Right.
Right? Whether, you know, regardless of what side of the spectrum you're on, the political spectrum, you'd have to agree, he's taken some unorthodox approach to the messages that he's put out there. And my question is, has this become the norm? If I'm a business now, has the Trump White House created an environment where I can deny things, where I can refuse to take responsibility? Or is this an anomaly happening out of Washington and the old school stuff that you and I were raised on of behave correctly still matters in our community? And I give him credit. He had to think for it a while. He said, no, I think the old school stuff still matters. We can get away with, one person can get away with an anomaly in an odd and strange location, which is Washington, D.C. The rest of us, that stuff has not impacted us. We still must play by the rules.
In the interview this evening, do y'all get into, and maybe not, I don't know, but the organic versus AstroTurf, and I'm being cliche, chock full of cliches here. But in other words, if that company that's doing the proactive PR, not the reactive, proactive PR, is coming out and saying, look, we did this thing where we gave toys to these children, or look what we did. We got the grass cut at such and such for this person. Is there a point where cynicism, you know what I'm saying, you do too much and then people go, you know, that's you're not doing the real thing there?
I think what you'll hear is that your question brings into our conversation another common thing in our time today, and that's the presence of social media. When we only boast about ourselves as a business on social media, people say, I've had enough.
Uh-huh.
But when we are using social media to give away content, give away valuable things, ideas, thoughts, coupons, insights, news, whatever it may be, sprinkled with, we cut the lawn of this, you know, the
right.
The park the other day. It's appreciated. Too much of self-aggrandizement, is that the word?
I'll take it.
I'll use it then. People get weary of it. And it brings to the question of what is social media doing in PR today? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Because any of us, you and I right now, could air our dirty laundry about a negative experience we've had with an organization. Is that good or bad for PR? Well, Kennan says it's good. It allows us to fix problems in front of the public. And he listed off a number of companies that are doing this, fixing problems in the public eye, and it has done nothing but enhance their market share as the people say, this company's going to take care of me if things go wrong. Well, really, really interesting stuff.
Well, I mean, it's good. It's kind of, I've said this in so many words about politicians, when things start to come unraveled for them, I just have a feeling here, a theory that hopefully will be proven one day, that it would be different than President Trump. It would just be somebody that had a situation, and instead of denying it, they would go, yeah, that's right, I did that. That was a boneheaded move. And it wouldn't save all of them, but I think a lot of times if they just said, yeah, I did that, that was stupid, I am sorry, here's how I made the mistake, but that is on me. I wonder if there weren't people that would just go, oh, okay, just don't do that again, and move on, you know?
Well, you're presuming and saying that the politicians are rational, normal humans. And I think we could go to Matt on discussing those three qualities of a politician and whether that exists out there or not. But I think you're right. Just like you and me who have young children, when our children fess up, I'm much less likely to be upset about
right.
it and say, thank goodness for raising your hand and fessing up, versus trying to continue to cover up and deny and blame others, et cetera. I think it's a natural human reaction when people admit to their mistakes and, you know, point the arrow at themselves, we forgive and move on. When they deny, we continue to want to make them admit guilt. I guess there's something elemental, animal in there or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting tonight to listen, because if you're talking about how this proactive PR works, even for the smallest businesses, I mean, like single proprietorships, I guess. I mean, you still have, so many hats. I guess one of your hats should be actually PR for your company.
And it doesn't need to be hiring a firm. And Kinnon says that it doesn't need to be hiring a firm. It needs to be taking a responsibility for your reputation in your community. And the cheapest and quickest way any of us can do that is through social media. Here's who we are. Here's what we're doing. Here's some information that is unique to our specialty that will be helpful. A dry cleaner posting information on how to protect your stuff for the summer that you're going to put away for the winter. I saw something like that today. That's good PR. That's not anything the dry cleaner is getting paid to do, but it's educating us on something that'll make us a little bit better as we go from summer into winter. Eventually, right?
Yeah.
Eventually,
yeah.
We're ready for this
one
to
day.
Happen. Eventually. And that's the type of stuff that develops the reputation, that puts this dry cleaner in a positive image in my head, that is a part of their PR purposes. I mean, it makes complete sense, but I've never thought of it in that way.
All right. Y'all can check out the full discussion tonight at 6 o'clock, What's Working with Cam Marston. Also, folks can get the podcast and actually go back and binge listen to older shows as well. Tell them how to do that.
My website is cammarston.com. That's cammarston.com. Across the top of the screen, I keep the podcast link. Once you click there, you'll see many different options on how to find previous episodes. And the Facebook page is What's Working with Cam Marston. If you go there, you get insights into types of guests that we're looking for hookups on guests, topic recommendations, etc. We keep it active. We keep it live. That's my PR machine.
Well said. Thanks, Cam. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live on a Wednesday, hanging out with folks at the Cart Doctor. Another place we like to take the show and do the show is with my buddy Angelo and Ron Nancy, the whole gang at Mobile Bay Coins. He's checking in telephonically right now. What's up, Angelo?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, man. What's going on at the shop today?
Man, it's actually been really, really busy. Gold and silver prices are starting to creep up just a tiny bit. Got a lot of people coming in shopping and also checking out all those cool things we've been putting out there on Facebook. We've got a lot of stuff coming in.
Yeah, well, you've been telling us that this is like the great play for silver, looking at the price and looking at it over a long term and the price. You said time to be buying. So obviously that time is that window is closing if it's starting to move back up.
Well, it certainly is. And it's getting close to the end of the year. The U.S. Mint is already basically sold out on production of 2018 silver rentals. Prices have hit the bottom, and it looks like it's up a little bit. So, yeah, definitely the time to come down and do some shopping.
All right, good deal. While we're there, other than just precious metals, what do you want us to look at?
Well, as you and I have always talked about, it's a great time. Now is a great time to start shopping for Christmas and start coming by on a regular basis. I've got the inventory here at Mobile Bay Coins because it changes weekly. You might see something really cool one week. You come in the next week, it's gone. Or if you didn't come in that week, you might miss out. So you need to make it a habit to either check out our Facebook page or check out the shop here on Government Street.
All right, Angelo, we will do that. And on the Facebook page, what, just look for Mobile Bay Coins?
Exactly. Go on to Facebook, look up Mobile Bay Coins. You can find us there. You can always call us at 725-1590. Or if you're here in Midtown, check us out at 2204 Government Street.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
All right, you too, Angelo, checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. And yeah, we're live at the Cart Doctor, and this is very busy because at the beginning of the show today, and this is going to last for today, while they're open today, if you stop on in the Cart Doctor right here in Theodore on Highway 90 West, they are doing pricing, their pricing to you. In other words, yeah, Trisha, she'll show you the invoice of what they paid for it, and this is on any cart that's on the lot here now, gas cart, electric cart. You know, something for the neighborhood, something for the woods, whatever cart you're looking at, you want that cart, they will sell it to you on at their price. And in addition, she was just pointing out when she was in here last time, the Yamaha has their 0% financing going on as well. So if you've been on the fence, you've been wondering whether you need to go ahead and pull the trigger on getting that cart, yeah, this is it. If you're going to do it here this year, if you've got it in your like three-month window that you're going to do it, a four-month window, today, I mean, there's their cost, and you can do the financing for 0%. Great stuff. All right, and more details on their website, and we'll put some links up as well. And I'll be hanging out here a little bit after the show closes because I think you're trying to find me a cart while I'm out here. I did mention at the beginning of the show, if I had time to get to this, and we will here, what's new with Alexa. Now, Dalton, are we right now? Can somebody go to their Alexa and I could order food or shoes. They can order up listening to FM Talk 106.5. That's right.
Yeah, you can ask your Alexa. I feel like I need to whisper it, Alexa, because I don't want to wake her up. But yeah, you can ask her to listen to our radio station. If you say listen to FM Talk 106.5 on TuneIn Radio. And that works that way. You can also order things off of Amazon. And I've heard of pizzas being ordered. I'm not sure if you can order other food.
Okay, how about this? How about you could say to her, without saying the name, getting into her, you say to her, hey, make me some microwave popcorn. Okay, so listen. Here's this story out, came out yesterday. Said the world could have an Alexa-enabled microwave before the end of 2018.
Hmm.
According to a report by CNBC, Amazon is gearing up to reveal up to 8 new Alexa devices before the end of this year. Among those could be a microwave oven. So you can say, you like leave the popcorn pack in there, like, Alexa, 3 minutes and 30 seconds or whatever it is. And if you smell smoke, stop, you know, whatever you got to tell her. So microwave oven, a subwoofer, an amp, and what they're calling an in-car gadget. They're not any more specific than that. CNBC reports claim that an internal Amazon document points at the online retailer revealing some or all of these devices at an event scheduled for later on this month. All of the rumored devices would have Alexa built in, like the microwave, the subwoofer, the amplifier, and the in-car gadget, or have easy access to a virtual assistant, likely over internet connection. While the microwave oven would be new, Amazon's already partnered with companies like Sonos to make Alexa-enabled amplifiers and other audio equipment. The company also partnered with Garmin recently to make the Garmin Speak Plus, a dash cam that connects to Alexa for in-car voice commands. It's unclear if the new devices will consist solely of collaborations between Amazon and other tech manufacturers, or if all their devices will be made and sold by Amazon. Company's Echo family has grown a lot since the first Echo speaker debuted in 2014. Around this time last year, Amazon revealed the newest members of the Echo family, the Echo Spot, and the updated Echo speakers. If the new devices are made and sold by Amazon, they will be in direct competition with similar devices made by Sonos and Garmin. Right? We told you that those are the people partnering right now with Amazon. It says here the retail giant decides that it wants to have its voice assistant available in as many products as possible. The more in-house products and partnerships with Amazon that they can score for Alexa, the better. So maybe they're just going to not just be partnering. They're going to be making their own. It's going to be an Amazon Alexa-enabled microwave. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be a GE microwave that's Alexa-enabled.
See, now I knew that the subwoofer was coming, that they would do that, because that's what I have. Those are the two Alexa-enabled devices. I have two Sonos speakers, not subs, but they're just speakers that I have in the house. And I knew that they would be making more headway with that. But the microwave, I had no idea. And at this point, we have to realize, this is the start, right? This is the start of the takeover.
Right. Well, this is the Internet of Things, right? We talk about all the when people think we have a DNS attack or something like that, and people think it's all these computers, like they're picturing a laptop or a tablet or a desktop doing it. But a lot of times it's people's lighting systems. It's their, the Internet of Things, where the Internet is operating different devices in their house. Those are the things that are all connected to the web. While they don't have a normal interface for people, they're all web connected. And that was what we're talking about here, that this is the start of it. And you'll be doing that Jetsons thing where you just say, hey, cook me a pot pie or whatever, and instead of having Rosie the robot, but pot pie will drop into a microwave and it'll vent itself and cook itself, and then you just go grab, maybe it'll bring it to you, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd rather have Rosie the robot, but I
how
like
fat
you said,
are we going to get? My gosh.
Like, do you have to leave the popcorn in there, or is there going to be a chute?
Well, that would be my plan. Like the popcorn thing, I just kind of made that up, but I mean, because they said they had the Alexa enabled microwave. Yeah, what I would do if I had one of those is I would leave the, every time I, I would like have that microwave just for popcorn. And after you take a bag out, you take the cellophane off and put a new bag in there, right? With this side up, like it tells you, and it would just sit there until next time I'm, watching television, which happens about twice a year, but I'd be watching television, I'd say, pop me some popcorn, and Alexa, get that microwave going.
The best part is you don't have to reset the clock by hand every time the power goes out, I would assume.
Alexa, that would be right. Hopefully the Alexa-enabled devices will be able to go online and get the time and date and fix all that. All right, so that's it for Midday Mobile for today, but we'll be back doing it again tomorrow. Mobile Morning starts at 6, and tonight, brand new as, not the show, and not Bo Meganson, Lord knows he's not brand new, Bo Meganson and the Auburn Tiger Radio Show debuts tonight. This is brand new at Nexus Cinema. We'll talk more about that and talk with y'all tonight, and y'all have a great one. Paul Feinbaum on the way next.